Well, it's like last week. I'm glad to see you, and I can see every one of you. You're double spaced. It's easier to read when it's double spaced, right? All right, good to be in the Lord's house. We know some folks did leave us going hunting cooler weather. I don't know what they found yet. But yesterday afternoon, I would have considered joining them, whatever they found. It was pretty warm, wasn't it? All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Jude. We've been in Jude, going to be in it some more. It's only got 608 words, but it's packed full of stuff. And if we run the references on it and consider what it's saying and how pertinent it is for the day and time we live in, it's a packed full little book. And interesting that it's right next to the book of Revelation. And we're about to see a lot of Revelation fulfilled. I think we are seeing a lot of it now. I believe we're at the end of the church age. I believe we're expecting the trumpet to sound. Somebody said Michael was moistening his lips. I'd help him if I could, especially as I see things continue to deteriorate beyond our imagination that we are seeing today. Now, last week, we got into the historical references, some of them, not all of them, here in the book of Jude. We remember now that the purpose of it's given to us, we're told to contend for the faith here in the first two or three verses. Then we have historical examples. And folks, somebody said all that man learns from history is that man don't learn from history. And I tell you what, we're living in a day and time when folks do not believe that God ever judged sin in history, but he did. And he's going to judge it now also. We ought to learn from the things that's referenced here in the book of Jude. Last week, we spent some time on the days of Lot, the sodomy age. And that's where we're at right now. Unbelievable where we're at. I saw the sword of the Lord's laying back there. I don't think I've read this last one. But in one of the last ones, I did glance at one of the headlines a while ago as I went by it. A church in California. Now, Brother Nathan Bird here is from out there. He may know all about it. But some of the churches out there being fined great amounts of money for not obeying all the rules and regulations that came in with COVID. I asked Brother Smith, he's our head bookkeeper, did we have some money in reserve to pay a fine like I saw there? One of the churches is going to be fined $1.3 million for not wearing the mask and all that they were supposed to during that time. Now, I hope that'll get to the Supreme Court and get overturned, but I don't know. In this age today, I don't know. But Those are days that we're living in. Now, the reference here in Jude was the days of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I've said it before, but Billy Graham so many years ago said if God did not judge America, he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, look what has deteriorated from the time he said that. Can you imagine? And so that's referenced here, and of course other references that we'll move into here maybe in just a moment. This little book of Jude reads very close here to the second chapter of 2 Peter. Some of the same historical examples are a reference, like Balaam and some others that we'll get to. And so there's a crowd out there today who says, well, God's old-fashioned, we've moved on from that, blah, blah, blah. No, this book's ahead of where you're at. It's gonna be fulfilled exactly like it states. And the fact that we can see that today is really amazing. Of course, as America, we can't help but worry about and should worry about and should pray for, even though it's real easy now. I'm honest with you about it. I'm having a hard time praying for America because America needs to repent big time. And we can't expect God's blessing on sin. There's a whole lot of folks think I'll do anything I want to and then God will forgive me and bless me. No, he won't. He wouldn't be a holy God if he didn't judge sin. And he is judging it. He's judging it in our country even now. And even some folks you wouldn't even think was Christians, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but I'm hearing even some few of the politicians speak up and tell us what a great mess we're in. I heard, who was it? Matthew Whitaker, I guess. He was one of the legal leaders in the last administration. He said, this is a serious time. He said, it is serious enough that our republic might be about to fall. Well, then you know what that means? He said, oh, we live in a democracy. No, we were supposed to be a republic. When we say the pledge to the flag, we say our pledge allegiance to the republic for which it stands. A democracy can be mob rule. Did you know that? And that's pretty much what we've seen. We've seen the burning in the streets and the destroying of the police cars and everything else. That's the mob rule. And yet you had the liberal politicians, liberal's too good a word for them, the sorry politicians that were saying this is democracy. No, it is not. It was tearing in. That's where we're moving to right now in our country. I hate to see the fall of America. I love America. I'd do anything I could to save it. But I recognize we're crossing some red lines with God, and his red lines are red lines. They're not just talk. And I fear for that. I fear for the rebellion I see today. And it's an amazing thing. Let's look at some of these names here that are brought up. Now, when you get the name, you ought to take the time to go back and read the story that's tied in with the name. So we're going to drop on down here and begin here in verse 10. Now he's talked here about the evil side, the filthy dreamers, speak evil of dignitaries. We talked about that last week. The example of the devil disputing over the body of Moses, we covered that. And then it says, but, kind of crosses the street here in verse 10. But these, the crowd he's just referenced, speak evil of those things which they know not. Now, boy, wouldn't that fit our day and time? Speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. So you got some words there that just fit our time. They know not what they're talking about. They don't even practice what would be natural. Brute beast understand better than what is going on today. For instance, you don't find brute beast out there killing their babies. They'll kill you over their babies. Well, what are we seeing in our nation today? We've seen so-called abortion, it's genocide, become the cover-up for sin. Become the birth control. Kill another human being. Say, well, so-and-so got raped. That's a very small percentage, not even a half a percent in reality. It's being used to cover up the sin of adultery and fornication that's going on in America. And yet this very next election, as important as it's going to be, our nation is going to, if we get this next one, I'm not sure we're going to get it, but if we do get a next election, many are saying it'll be the last. I'm kind of afraid we may have had the last already. You say, oh, that's politics. No, that's standing for what's right against wrong. I'll say something about this, and if you don't like it, fire me. Thank God I'm immune to that right now. I'm vaccinated from that. Okay. Listen, if they can't put Trump in jail, they'll kill him before they let him back in the White House. Now you mark it. Pastor Carter said this on a certain date at a certain time. I tell you what, I'd hate to be one of those Secret Service men that's charged with protecting him. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, this is a dangerous, ridiculous time that we live in. They're so afraid that he's going to get back in and throw the corrupt crowd out until they would kill him before they'd let him back in. I believe that. There might be some other good ones like our governor. I'd like to see him president only if we can't get Trump back. Here's why I say that. I like to keep him as governor. He's a good governor. Then number two, Trump has been in there. He's seen the bad crowd behind the curtain. He knows the dirt and the evil that they'll do. He is better prepared to fight them than any stranger going in there that's got to learn the ropes, learn the evil that Trump already knows about. So you say you think he's God's man? God may be using him. You look in the Bible and see where God used some characters. He used Jehu. You know who Jehu was? I always liked Jehu because it said he drove furiously. He was a chariot driver. Remember that? So I kind of like that. You can't do that much in Florida anymore. There's no road left. It's full of cars. But God used him to go throw Jezebel over the wall. Remember? Well, Trump threw Jezebel over the wall. Remember? All right. Some of you don't remember. Anyway, the truth is, he knows the dirt, and they are afraid of him. They're very much afraid of him. The more they are afraid of him, the more I'd like to see him get in. But, folks, let's be honest. He or nobody else can clean this mess up. Only Jesus can. And he's the one going to do it. I wish he'd hurry up, but he's on time. He's not late. We think he is, but he's not. He'll be on time. And how long it goes before he does it, I don't know, but he will. He is coming. All right, we're going to pick up some of these, starting in verse 10 and 11 here. Talking about a group that all they know is like a brute beast would know. Now, again, I don't want to insult the beast for some of the crowd I see today, even in comparing them to some of the crowd I see today. Do you know there is sin against God? Of course, and all sin is against God. We know that. We do know when you read the book of Leviticus, God had different judgments and different punishments on different sins. So if somebody says, well, no difference in sin, yes, there is. Would you rather I think about killing you or kill you? Right? Well, I don't look on a woman in lust. It's just as bad. Might as well go ahead and do it. That's a bunch of devil talk. No, it is worse to do some things you didn't think of that you didn't do. And the Bible is clear on that. That's why it gives different penalties for different sins. But all sin is against God. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law, God's law. So all sin is against God. But we in a day and time to where even sins against nature now would have never been thought of. And that's what we have in the homosexual movement today. Pure, corrupt sin. Do you know that this big movement right now, and there's a title to the group they organized years ago, the North American Man-Boy Association. They're lobbying and trying to get, and in some states even getting bills to pass, trying to get them to pass, to make it legal for men to molest sexually little boys. That's what the group's about. That's on the verge of passing in some places. And we're seeing it today. You're not only supposed to tolerate the gays, you're supposed to be proud of them. Brother Parsons covered it last week. It was Gay Pride Month, remember? Pride of being an abomination. Pride of being what God hates. Something wrong with that. Real wrong with it. But that's what we're seeing right now. As is sin against nature. I believe it's in that sword of the Lord, or another one reporting about the transsexual man that says when he goes to a place of business or church or anywhere else, if they tell him he cannot go in the woman's restroom, he's a man, and if he can't go in the woman's restroom, if you try to stop him, he says he'll kill you. Even the president and some others have brought up this idea that transsexuals are in danger and therefore they ought to arm themselves and take care. Well, I kind of like what I said to you last week. That one gay group was warning people not to come to Florida. It might be unhealthy. I'm proud of that. And the governor kind of spoke positive about that too, if you remember. I said last week, I'd like to have a big sign painted at the Florida line. If you don't feel comfortable here because you're queer, then turn around. Amen. All right. You say, why don't you go back to the Bible? I am talking Bible. I'm just talking about the side you don't like. We all shouldn't like it. We all should be against the mess that's going on now. So as I move to these verses, these historical things were bad, and God dealt with them and brought judgment on them. God hadn't changed. If he hated Sodom and Gomorrah's sin, he still hates it. And the word says so. If he brought judgment then, he will bring judgment again. Just because the hammer hadn't fell yet don't mean it's not going to fall. It is. Now moving on just a little bit here in the verse, it says they're like brute beasts, talking about things they don't understand. And then it says, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now, corruption is a word that covers a whole lot of what is going on today. Whether it be in the stealing the money, getting paid off from the other enemies, our nations, other nations that are our enemies. But of course they're getting by with it because they're the ones in power right now. All the stuff we see in corrupt government today and corrupt in personal morals and in every way we can turn. Some of the states and some of the courts are overturning it, but some of the states, including Florida, have passed laws to stop mutilating the children, trying to pretend God put the wrong soul in the wrong body and mutilating little boys and girls through surgery and then giving them the puberty blockers. Do you realize down the road the destruction that brings? You know, I want to say this to moms and dads and make some of you mad maybe. Moms, let your husband raise that little boy to be a man. You say, but I want him to learn how to clean house and wash dishes. I'd rather he learn how to dig dishes and go hunting. So he knows he's a man when he grows up. Now, if it's a little girl, get her a doll. Don't get a little boy doll. Maybe a teddy bear if he looks real ferocious. I'm playing with you now. Listen, I think about the dad that came home from work just waiting on supper, and he got two little boys out on the grass in front of the kitchen window, and he was tussling and wrestling with them and playing like dads do with little boys. And the mother was looking out the window. She fixed supper, and she hollered at him, "Y'all are destroying the grass out there." He said, "Woman, we're raising boys, not grass." You understand the point? That's where we're hurting. We've come to an effeminate generation because we got boys doing girly things. All right, I'm meddling now. I'll let the pastor straighten it out later. But listen, the tree is going to grow up like you've been the twig from early on. And we need to be careful with that. We're living in a day and time now of perversion, of reprobate minds, the scripture calls it. And I think about this. So it says, warn to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Now we know what that is. Cain rebelled on God when it come to bringing the right sacrifice. And run greedily after the heir of Balaam. We'll check on that. For reward. And perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, Kor is translated from the Greek here into the English, but in the Old Testament, that's Korah, starts with a K, K-O-R-A-H, who rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And how many of you, I might have preached a sermon when hell opens up. I don't know if I remember, I did. I thought about it if I didn't. That's when the ground opened up and swallowed Korah. Anybody remember that? The rebellion that he brought, and there was about 250 people rebelled and died. And when the contest between who God was leading them with, was Moses God's man or not? You remember the story? Rebellion there that came, and the ground opened up and swallowed Korah and his group that followed him. I look around today at some of the evil I see, and it seemed to me like the ground ought to open up and swallow some of it. But that's the reference here. Now, it's those that did wrong and rebellion against God, and so this is what's being referenced for us here. The way of Cain, the way of works, not grace, the way of trying to get the works of his hands accepted by God instead of the blood sacrifice that Abel brought. You understand the story there. That was the error of Cain. And then it says, run greedily, and the word greedily plays on this. Ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Now, if you went back on Balaam, you'd have to go back to Numbers chapter 21, 22, and understand the story. I believe it's in Numbers 6. You can also get the story of Korah. But thinking here a little bit on Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God. He knew what was right. But he was tempted because of his greed for the money that King Balak, B-A-L-A-K, offered to get him to curse Israel. Remember the story? You'll remember it when I say this was the hireling prophet who was riding his donkey to go curse Israel. And God made the donkey speak, remember? I've heard a few preachers that made me think of Balaam's donkey several times. The truth of the matter is, the donkey had more sense than the preacher. And the truth is today, the liberal compromising preachers and churches that's allowing a lot of this sin to go unchallenged, or will not speak against it, God needs to let some donkeys speak to some of them. It is an amazing thing. I believe we live in the Laodicean age, the last age of the church before Jesus comes. I still believe there are Philadelphian churches that can stay true, preach the truth, stick with the word, stick with the standards, stick with what honors God. We don't have to be a Laodicean church. We can still be a Philadelphian church. But the Laodicean crowd is out there. You read like Revival Fires or Sword of the Lord or something, you find out churches across the land that are ordaining homosexuals in the pulpit. How they're throwing gay parties and gay pride days, all of that business. Now that's a compromising church. That's what Balaam wanted to do in his heart for money. He wanted to receive the money and do wrong. He couldn't curse Israel because God wouldn't let him. And yet God had to stop him as he was traveling to do so. You know, he said, in fact, why don't you look at it with me? Go back to Numbers with me, 21. I don't have it marked. You find it about as quick as I do. And you see, a man knew what was right, but he didn't want to do right. He wanted to do wrong. And the temptation today with many is about the same thing that I see happening, and even in some church areas. I keep hearing about good churches from time to time that have fallen and caved in to the pressure of the world. I'm looking in chapter 21 of Numbers. See if I can find the verse that I'm thinking about here. If we went to Numbers 22, I better get over to chapter 22 and pick it up in about verse 18, maybe. 22, 18. Okay, here's the one I wanted to see. The message has already been sent to the prophet Balaam to compromise, to curse Israel, and the bribe has been offered. And yet Balaam answers back here in verse 28 of chapter 22. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Man, that's a verse you ought to mark. Every preacher ought to mark it. I pastored here 50 years. I pastored the country church 3 years before I came here. Not often, but two or three times or more in that period of time, I basically had an offer which would have been wrong had I done it. But if I would have done it, I would have been the recipient of a bribe of a price of money. Now you say, oh, I bet you wasn't tempted. No, I was too scared of God to be tempted in any real serious thing. But I want to tell you, it's real easy when a preacher, I remember the first little challenge. I was making $25 a week pastoring that church. It took $5 a week to clean my suit because there was no air conditioning in the church. And when I preached, they had a little rubber mat down behind the pulpit, which was elevated 2 or 3 foot up like a platform is. The ceiling was low. There was no insulation in it. So my head was about 16 inches below the ceiling. That's where all the heat was at. It was hot. Yeah, this is not a lie. I got my hand on the Bible. I got to noticing some water on that rubber mat behind the pulpit. And I thought, there's no plumbing here. It did not rain. Where did the water come from? Then I realized it came from me. Thank God it was sweat. But it started in my head and run down the back of my neck and down my backbone and down my leg and in my shoes and finally got on that rubber mat. Now, I'm sure it didn't overflow the shoe top, but it shook off on the mat enough that there was enough puddle on the mat to spot it. I'm trying to say it was hot. It was worse than that. And $5 a week to clean my suit, another $5 a week or more to put in the gas tank, because gas was terrible. It was 18 cents a gallon. Yes, it was terrible. Out of $25, there was not much left. Now, somebody come by and said, if you'll do so-and-so, here's $400. Now, $400 looked like a lot more than it looks like today. But I thought God in heaven would get me if I'd done something like that. After I got here and things changed a little different, I had more than one time something like that happen. But I thought about this verse. Balaam here, when he's in his right mind, though he's tempted, he said, you could send a house full of money to me and gold and silver, and I couldn't do wrong. I can't go against the word of God. And you think about that. How many preachers today, I hope to God, don't compromise, no matter what. I had a preacher call me. He said, looks like I'm going to be run off from the church here. He said, I said, well, did you do wrong? He said, no. I said, well, it's not a shame if you leave when you're right. Be a shame if you're wrong. If you're right with God, then you still got a clear conscience. You still got a clean heart about it. And you know what is right. So as I look about this, it references the historical thing with Balaam, the hireling prophet, wanting to do wrong. I think about today. Listen, the church don't have to be popular. It has to be right with God. And the pressure today, I'll get a crowd if I do this and I do that. Disney World gets the crowd, but it's not a church. You can entertain enough to get a crowd to come see. But I want to tell you, there's a big difference in that crowd and God's crowd. And let the Holy Spirit be present in your place, in your ministry, in your church, the place He does what you can't do anyway. By the way, you can get the biggest crowd in the world, don't mean anybody's going to get saved. If the Word of God is preached to him, the Holy Spirit works, He will. But if you're doing wrong, the Holy Spirit's not going to be in town, much less in that assembly that's doing wrong. All right, got the meddling there a little bit on the preacher side of it. But Balaam was tempted, and a lot of folks we see today say, well, I can excuse that. Take the bribe, do it, It'll be the popular thing to do. The popular thing today has got America in trouble. We have had spiritual lockjaw when we should have spoke up and identified sin and God's judgment on sin. As a church, truthfully, I'd rather see us pastoring 30 that's staying right than 3,000 that's off into the wrong side and with the wrong crowd. Folks, we got to see God is the one that's going to settle the whole thing one of these days soon. I believe very soon that he is. And somebody says, well, that's politics. No, it's speaking for the Bible side, the Bible issues. What is right with in the eyes of God? That's the thing that counts. What we're seeing today politically is what destroyed Russia, what destroyed a lot of places where socialism turned into communism, into dictatorship, and now look at what's happened. You want a good, some of the young people, I've heard some young people say, well, socialism be better than capitalism. If you think so, move on down to Cuba and check it out. Live there a while. By the way, did you see in the news this week when they finally admitted what some of us already knew, China has spying stations in Cuba, 90 miles off the tip of Florida, watching us. President Trump and others have said we're in a very critical place. Our enemies know our weakness. They see it. If they're ever going to make a move, they're going to move it when we have the weak leadership. And maybe worse than weak, maybe bought and paid for leadership in this country right now. That is a terrible thing to have to say, but it's evidence out there. You have to follow the evidence sometime. I think about old Anthony Flew. He was a leading atheist in London, had a big crowd that followed him, preaching and teaching atheism against God. And then he got, something happened to him. Same thing happened to some of us in here. He got old. And the older he got, the more feeble he got. The more pains he woke up with that he didn't know he had before. And so all of a sudden, it come out in the newspaper that he changed his mind and said, there's a God. Old Anthony changed his mind when he began to get closer to facing God. And all the crowd went wild in London. This is something happened just the last few years. He may be dead now. I think he was 83 when he made this statement. So all the atheist crowd that had been following him and listening to him said, oh, maybe he's sick. Maybe he's gone senile. His answer back was, no, all I did was follow the evidence. And folks, when you follow the evidence, God will not tolerate sin forever. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And some things are about to happen. I really, really believe that. Mr. Putin over there put his competitor that was going to run against him, tried to poison him over in London, you know, and then they got him back to Russia and put him in jail. He's in jail now. And that's what they want to do with Mr. Biden's number one competitor too, is put him in jail. And afraid it might happen. I hope not. But I don't think it's wrong to pray about the situation in America, but do not get excited. No man is going to save us, only Jesus. And he is going to do it. He is coming back. In Revelation chapter 19, he talks about it. He'll come. He'll set up his kingdom. Listen, somebody says, thy kingdom come. Well, the king's got to come to bring in the kingdom. And the king is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we honor here. And so our hope's not in politics. Our hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That don't mean we shouldn't stand against what's wrong, identify it, speak against it, vote against it. Everything that we can do, contend for the faith. That's what started off the book here, Jude. Contend for the faith, once delivered unto the saints. If I contend for the faith, I'll vote against the evil and corruption everywhere that I have an opportunity to. And I do hope we have that opportunity again. We have the errors pointed out historically here. The way of Cain, the greed of Balaam, the gainsaying of Korah, number 16. We have that as evidence. What did God do? He did something in those days. He's going to do something in our days. And the Bible tells us what it is. He's coming again, leading the armies of heaven to set up his kingdom on earth. churches for years, and people have prayed what's called the Lord's Prayer, even though the Lord's Prayer is really in John 17. The disciples' prayer that's quoted so often in churches, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That'll happen when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. It will be fulfilled. It will happen. In the meantime, don't be ashamed to stand up for what you know is truth. And you know that's God's word. I fear Christians thought we could keep our mouths shut so long, and we believe that false idea. Well, separation of church and state, yeah, but not separation of God and state. And that's the mistake has been made too much. All right, time is up. We'll see what the report is here. I don't know what all that music I'm hearing out there is, but it sounds a little strange to me. I'm not the pastor anymore, but I used to baptize cell phones whenever they went off in church. Just giving you warning.